Welcome to Forging Families, a 10-part series that shines light on all aspects of families through silly stories, quirky questions, and riveting reveals. The topic of today's episode is pets. You probably have one or several, and many of us consider them to be full-fledged members of our families. But why is that? Another perspective may prove helpful in answering this question. So I conducted an interview with my sister Taya. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hi.
Alright, so the first question I want to ask is that of all the different kinds of pets we've had over the years, dogs, cats, fish, a rabbit one time, which kind would you say is your favourite?
The cats we had.
Okay, well, cats are a pretty popular choice. Why cats?
Because they were the ones I remember the most.
Our family briefly took in a rabbit who, as we later learned, had escaped from a local pet store and was promptly returned. Expect more tidbits about the fluffy fellow later. Over the years, our mother adopted at least half a dozen cats, the last of whom, sadly, outlived her. So it would make sense for my sister to remember them more than other pets we've had. So, what do you remember about them specifically?
About how they would fight each other for food and how they would go out and beg for food. I think that's what they did when they left.
Okay, but there wasn't a deficit of food, was there?
No.
Oh yeah, we always gave them plenty of food.
Yeah, they stayed at our house for weeks and we would give them any food we had, which they would proceed to fight over.
The conversation lulled a bit during a tangent about cat food, but Taya had a bit more to say when it came to the big question. Yeah, I think their favourite food was a cat food brand that I think they only have in the UK called Sheba.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep looking for it on pet store shelves here in America, but I never seem to find it. But getting back on topic, the big question of this interview is, do you think pets can be considered members of the family?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, we care for them as like we would care for our children, and we adopt them like we adopt children as well. We feed them, we take care of them, we give them shelter. Might as well be part of the family, or at least considered part of it. If you want, I can talk about a different animal.
Oh, by all means, go ahead.
The rabbit. Remember? I remember how we would chew up all our Christmas lights.
Oh yeah, that was very bad.
And Mom kept letting him out of the cage.
Yeah, and I had to vacuum the floor 7 times a day.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, that actually leads us into the next question I wanted to ask. What makes a memory with a pet special to you?
The feelings that you feel in the moment can last for a while, depending on how memorable you think it might be.
Okay, does it matter if they're good feelings or bad feelings?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, thank you for joining us, and that concludes the interview. So what can we take away from the interview? How do pets fit into our families? Well, pets, like human family members, create memories, both good and bad. But I think the difference between the rabbit and our cats is that the cats lived with us, while the rabbit only stayed briefly. The longer anyone lives with us, the more opportunities arise for emotional attachments to be created, which rope our pets into our families, regardless of not being related by blood, and even being a different species. I have a story of my own to share in this vein, about how deep the emotional bonds between pets and owners can go in the face of a threat to our beloved animals, especially of our own making. This story takes place about 8 years ago, and I wasn't sure whether or not to share it, but I think enough time has passed that the story can be shared without raising any issues. It takes place in Redditch, and stars my old dog Jamie. She was a black Labrador mix, and about 10 to 12 years old at the time of the story. I would walk Jamie regularly around the paths and patches of grass that surrounded the row of houses, of which our home was a part. As one of these walks was winding down, on a sunny summer afternoon, Jamie and I were walking along the row of houses, homeward bound, when we saw a group of older boys blocking path and chatting. There were other paths we could have taken, but the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. My plan was simple. Walk around the boys on the adjacent grass and continue home. It was a good plan, barring one crucial oversight. I had forgotten that Jamie was afraid of groups of strangers, so when we passed the boys, she lunged forward, and before I could stop her or even react, she had bitten one of the boys on the ankle. After the deed was done, I pulled Jamie back, apologized, and took her home. My mother was in the living room, and after seeing her, I told her what happened. I wound up on the opposite side of the room, a mixture of retreating in shame and, rightfully I might add, being slapped across the face for what I'd done. Mom screeched frantically at me, partly because we were going to go somewhere, but now we couldn't, as we had to wait for the police, but mainly because my poor decision would likely end up with Jamie being euthanized. The terror I felt in that moment soon turned to misery, knowing that my dumb decision had condemned my doggy to death. I took Jamie to my room, and for the next half hour, I just petted her and hugged her, tears streaming down my face, and apologizing for getting her killed. Jamie, for her part, just looked at me, not understanding what I was saying, but enjoying all the attention and trying to console me, as she could tell I was upset. At that moment, when I thought my dog, a member of my family, would be ripped away from me and put to death because of me, brought a misery unlike anything else I'd ever felt out. I contemplated disguising myself as Jamie and getting euthanized in her place, or throwing myself before the police and demanding they punish me, do whatever they want to me if they leave my dog alone. I realize now how foolish this sounds, but in the moment, all I could think of was to try and find some desperate way to save my dog from the danger I'd put her in. They say it's always darkest right before the dawn, and that was the case here. For whatever reason, call it a miracle, divine intervention, or a ludicrous amount of luck on my end, but the mother of the boy Jamie had bitten came to the door. It was just her, no police. My mother talked to her, and she was very understanding, and didn't call the police about what happened. I guess Jamie must not have seriously injured him for her to be so merciful. My doggy was saved. I guess my feelings at the time can, in addition to what Taya said, serve as a measuring stick for whether or not someone is family. Does the thought of them dying make you sadder than you've ever been? If it does, then human or animal, they are family. Well, thank you for listening to Forging Families. If you liked what you heard, share this episode with a friend. We are available wherever you find your podcasts, and be sure to return for the next episode of Forging Families. Until then, goodbye.